Lemon pepper fans, I hope you're sitting down because Zaxby's just dropped a mouth-watering lemon pepper dry rub. Now you can get that delicious, zesty lemon and cracked black pepper flavor you love on the chicken you love. Try it any way you want, from Zaxby's lemon pepper wings and lemon pepper sandwiches to their lemon pepper chicken fingers. And with the Zaxby's app, all that lemon peppering can earn you rewards points. Now that's lemon pepper perfection. Zaxby's lemon pepper. Get some today.
Who's got the sauce?
Zaxby's.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, welcome back, congregation. I hope everyone had a lovely break and that you enjoyed the summer specials from the Crypt, as we teased last week. We are back from our holidays for season six. That sounds very fabulous. It's season six, but really it's like season 205.
It does feel more like that, doesn't it?
The Confessions Podcast, your weekly mindful moment to listen to sinners bearing their souls and revealing their misdemeanours to be judged by the nation, and brought to you by the excellent colleagues here at Greatest Hits Radio. Sister Susie, resplendent, it says here in the salon bar, but I think it's a saloon bar. She's refreshed, and even though she is now...
she is that old, isn't she?
Imagine
being that old.
That would be incredible. Dear. But she's still sounding fantastic and groovy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Brother Matt's in his usual place, which is the car.
Correct. Yes, here I am.
And Holly is hovering, wondering if she'll get on the podcast at all.
Hello.
Oh, there she is.
Here I am.
Accomplished.
So coming up, we visit the parish notice board and add to the list of shame those confessions which were not suitable for broadcast. We head back to the very first confession featured on Greatest Hits Radio for the confession. From the Crypt. That'll be, from a technological point of view, that will be quite interesting because we were from a completely different studio and I had no idea what I was doing with the equipment.
Oh, really? Is that from back then?
From back then.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't the first ever show.
I just said confession. It's the first confession. Wasn't that on the first show?
We did a confession on the first show, didn't we?
No.
Well, what else were we doing?
What did we do instead? The first show that we did on Greatest Hits Radio.
You must have done a confession.
Nope.
What were we doing? We have a completely different feature.
Clearly, we have no memory because it was at least three decades ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're also going to be including all the top confessions from the Drive Time Show, Greatest Hits Radio, 4 till 7, unless we're on holiday. Stevie's soggy story, Dirty Cash, Bill's confession, An Awfully Big Marine. But first, it's Brian's feline faux pas in Cats in the Cradle.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Brian.
Brian, right.
This happened probably 15 years ago. We had a ginger and white cat called Freddy. If you've been listening to this feature for a while, you'll in despair.
Oh, dear, for Freddy.
It's not looking good for Freddy, is it? We lived at the time in Wilmslow. Freddie was a wonderful cat, loved by everyone, especially by the kids. No family event was complete without Freddie weaving in and out of our legs before slumping on the rug, stretching out like he owned the place. One Saturday, my wife read in the weekly local advertiser, back in the days when there was such a thing, ask your grandparents, that a well-known pet retailer had an end-of-season sale. I was dispatched to buy a few weeks' supply of cat food. Having chosen the food, waiting in the queue at the till, I spotted a display of cat baskets at one-third the price. Once they're gone, was the sign. I decided to bag a bargain and added it to my purchases. At the till, the shop assistant explained to me that the cat basket, as it was a special purchase, was in the sale. It was non-returnable. That's what I was committing to. I said, yes, that's absolutely fine. It's a non-returnable purchase. But I returned home very pleased with myself, with the spoils of my bargain shopping. The cat food was received with the expected deserved praise. The cat basket was met with, well, that can go straight back. We've already got one in the shed. I bought one a few weeks ago. What on earth were you thinking? Well, I thought it was because I saw it and you never told me. Anyway, somewhat deflated, but to keep harmony at home, always wise, I put it into the car and drove back to the retailer, trying to think up an excuse that we get a refund. Maybe it would be a different assistant. The store Oh, it's the same shop assistant on the till, and I approached him with a cap basket and the receipt hot in my hand. It was a kind of cheery, can I help you, but his eyes were saying there's no chance that's coming back for a refund. I explained that I had to return the basket as I had a slight problem. What's that then? He said. Well, I said I arrived home and I was backing the car into the drive.
Oh, no. Go on.
There was a loud bump.
Oh, that was.
And I felt the car wheels lift slightly and then drop again and... Well, the cheery assistant's face was now a ghostly white. Did you... Had you... Was it? I nodded sadly. I did. I had. And it was. Yes, I'd run over the cat, and therefore I did not require the cat basket anymore. I had a very sad and downtrodden look on my face, Father Simon. My acting was really rather impressive, much like your own.
Yeah.
I tried for a tear. Sadly, that was beyond me. I did manage a little catch in my voice, and I cleared my throat as I was clearly struggling with my emotions. Well, the shop assistant was now mortified and shocked, and after many, many commiserations, refunded the purchase in full. Thank you very much. I think he was quite moved by my plight. So, therefore, obviously, why I have come to you and your top feature, I seek forgiveness from the shop assistant, because he was almost certainly a Saturday job merchant, and he got him into trouble from the boss for not following company policy. Maybe he had to pay it out of his own salary. Anyway, the till team probably had a good laugh or story to take home. I also seek forgiveness from everybody, including Sister Susie, as no one was injured or hurt in the production, and no monies or goods were lost unless the shop assistant had the money taken from his paltry salary. As a family, including our new adult children, we have enjoyed retelling the story and laughed a lot over the years. Freddie enjoyed the bargain cat food and lived a long and healthy life, which is, of course, a very reassuring thing, but does not get Brian out of his particular
Brian,
conundrum.
Yeah, right.
I think Brian. he is Brian, not his real name.
No.
Sister Susie has appealed to you directly.
Yeah, well, I was on Brian's side for a little bit, because how did he know that his wife had bought another cat basket and kept it in the shed? You know, that's a very fair point. However, I just can't get over the fact that you lied about Freddie. Well, I just can't forgive you. The cat had died. Why, if your cat had died, why didn't you take the cat food back as well? We should have asked you that.
That's
because
true.
Because I wouldn't.
Oh, that is true, isn't it? Yeah.
Not yes, forgiving,
Brian. Maybe he wasn't that smart then. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's Matt's going to be Matt's defence. Yes. What do you say, Matt?
Yes, I don't think the pet shop owner was very smart. Well, here's the thing. They've got discretion, haven't they? The people who work in pet shops, that sometimes the rules apply, sometimes they don't. That's how it works in pet shops. Also, Brian's wife should have said something about the cat basket.
Right.
Why are you keeping it in the shed? Not doing any good there. If you bought the cat basket, you would put the cat in the basket, and that's what you bought it for.
Yes.
So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
And it was, as I think we mentioned at the time, a remarkable confession for being a cat-based confession.
Yeah.
Where the cat is not even poorly at all and survives and is in tip-top shape because it was just a lie about the cat.
Yeah, normally the cat, as soon as a cat is mentioned in the opening lines of a confession, it normally means the cat is not going to make it to the end of the confession.
Yeah, but I probably wouldn't have chosen that because that would, you know, maybe a mouse or a rat.
Okay.
Or an ant or a stick insect, but...
An ant?
Yes.
Right.
If someone said, I had a pet ant and then something happened to it, I'd go, fine, I'm not that bothered.
Loads of them.
But a cat...
Yeah,
but if a cat is harmed in the making of a confession, I don't think we
It doesn't get on now.
I don't think so.
Oh, times have changed.
Unless it's humorous.
Unless it's funny. And then it definitely gets on. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think so. Anyway, Freddie didn't come to any harm, so that was a very, very lovely thing. Let's have a look at the parish notice board. Matt, how are the reviews going?
Well, you'll be stunned to hear they are all 5 stars. 5 stars, says Alistair Peebles. Yes, my podcast boredom is relieved. I was just browsing through the podcast library, only to find that the best show ever is back.
This is
brilliant news, as I've been bereft of my favourite podcast for way too long. Even better, I now have a bit of a back catalogue to make my way through. Plus, Matt is always right in his divine judgment.
I wonder how that got on.
Yeah, how'd that go on?
Tony and Toby say 5 stars, passing the happiness from father to son. I always listened to Confessions way back when I was a lot younger than I am now. I was so happy when the podcast came back, and even more so when I played one to number two son during a driving lesson, and he expressed a similar enthusiasm for the tales. He liked them so much that it became expected that when driving, we had the podcast on. Mum wanted us to listen to ones that would help his A-level revision, but we ignored that and laughed instead.
But laughter is the best medicine.
It is indeed, yes. Obviously, it helped as he just got grades BBC and is off to his first choice uni in September. Alas, he has passed his driving test also, so no more driving and listening with him. Hashtag emoji, smiley face, sad face.
No, it's a cry face.
Cry face.
Cry face.
Hashtag no emoji. Hashtag emoji, sad face. Still, thanks for the memories, and we'll continue to listen separately. Ten stars if I could. And finally, Codastic 6. Codastic says 5 stars. Best pod ever, said Mr. Code. Father Simon, brother Matt and sisters Susie and Holly, I'm only 12 and I've been listening to this show for years.
No,
absolutely. My mum got me into the show when I was young. 5, I think.
When you were young?
Yes, very young. Yes, imagine.
Wow.
Imagine being.
You are young.
Back in the day.
Oh, yes. I've been an addict ever since. One of my favourite parts is the NFB section. Oh, not for broadcast section. How many times do people have to be told that laxatives aren't allowed?
Correct.
I also love the accents, Matt, and Sick and Wrong from Holly. Thanks again for an amazing podcast. And remember, to get a shout out on the pod, you need to leave us a review, but we will only read out your review if it is 5 stars.
Where did Sick and Wrong come from? I mean, I know it was Holly.
Yes.
I think there was something to do with toenails or something like that, maybe. I think there was some kind of toenail clipping thing.
Oh, and I do remember.
It was just really gross.
Didn't they end up in someone's food?
Cheesy feet.
Yeah.
I just remembered I left my toe clippings in the garden.
No.
In the garden?
Ooh, wait, this is real. You actually did.
Yeah,
ooh.
Today.
Well, that's okay. What's wrong with toenails?
The wind will blow them away.
Nature.
And then a bird or a badger. Actually, down our way is the foxes.
Stuck in their throat.
Actually, that's a good thing. A way of getting rid of foxes.
Foxes,
leave all my toenail clippings out there.
Yes.
Oh, take that, fox.
No.
Mind you, look at some of the things they eat. They might...
Might
become a local delicacy.
Delicious.
Anyway, Catherine has been in touch. Dear Father Simon, the righteous Sister Susie, Sister Holly, and the ever forgiving Pope Matthew I. Mm-hmm. I checked, there's not been one. Not yet.
Nope.
You recently read my 3-worder in which I extolled the virtues of a single confession per night as a bedtime treat, courtesy of the podcast. Mm. What I neglected to mention was the fact that I have only recently started to listen to the podcast, not because I was unaware of it, far from it, but purely to soak in the pleasure that this brings when listening and as an indulgent catch-up. Oh, what joy to have the young and innocent Sister Holly being educated on standard fare prior to her arrival on the planet. Sister Susie being firm, although I do think she is softening as a mum. And Matt, well, you know, Matt's being Matt.
Correct.
The parish notice board being edited by Father Simon, just giving enough to tease, but being strict at the same time is a giggle worth waiting for. As for the weekly code, well, suffice to say, the one I heard last week refers to slugs, garage and dessert. So... say no more. I am currently 5 months behind in this delightful pleasure, so I have no idea if it will be read out. So that'll be like Christmas or something.
Yeah.
So happy Christmas to Catherine. Mm. But it would be a lovely surprise if I did hear it, probably sometime at the end of the year or early next year. Keep up the fab work at entertaining us. Well, to which I say, Catherine, we'll just speed up your listening.
Yeah. We're churning these out once a week. You're going to get loads to get through.
Yes.
5 months. Goodness me.
Susie, any correspondence come your way?
Yes. So while we were away, we got quite a few messages about the special confession that we had, which was a podcast exclusive
a few weeks ago.
Like Daniel, who said this one, dear beloved brothers and sisters of the confessional, I just wanted to reach out after hearing the Confessions podcast on the 2nd of August. Another fantastic episode, though I expect nothing less than to laugh out loud at every episode. I was, however, not expecting a tearjerker at the end. It was up there with a proper sad story you've normally hear on Simon Bates's R tune. I could almost hear his voice reading it out and the background music.
Oh, you and team. I put a lot of work into that, and you're imagining someone else. Yes. Different music.
He does say that you and the team did it justice, though, and massive hugs to Dawn. Daniel.
Yes, go. If you missed that podcast, thanks a lot for your lack of commitment, but you can go back and you can check that one out. Daniel, thank you very much indeed. There was quite a lot of correspondence on social media. for people who like that one particularly. If you do have a confession, that's a bit different. Maybe you'll only fit in, into a podcast like Dawn's. I mean, general stuff anyway, but also if it's a specialist confession, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Also, if you are super young and you don't want to write like a page and a half of A4, we could, as a thing on the podcast, we could do like two-line confessions.
All right, sort of like mini confessions from minis, from mini people.
Yes,
as if you're children.
Or children, as they usually...
Yeah, mini people is what we all refer to.
Children's confessions, like just a line or two or something
small
like
humans.
That.
Yeah.
Would that work?
Yeah, that's nice.
What would be the youngest we'd accept? What's the minimum age?
Well, they'd have. Are they writing it themselves?
Yes.
So, how old are you when you write?
If you...
But we need parental permission, though, just a heads up.
No,
yes.
Really.
For them to send us in.
Is that right? So parental permission, I'm going to say the age of 5.
A couple of mentions to Tracy Fry, Thomas Hrubecki, I think that is, Paul Frame, Sal, Mr. Paney, Paul, Oggy, Norman Kelly, Bill Pickard, and definitely a bot, who were among those who tweeted and blue-skied. By the way, blue-skied, a lot of serious action happening there.
Really?
Yes.
A lot of serious action?
Yes, absolutely. From the last few podcasts, which were Not Too Much Vomit, With a Twist, and Holiday Poo. They were all the different catchphrases.
Yeah.
Matt will have a brand new catchphrase a little bit later on. Please don't scroll through to check the transcript.
No, don't.
Nope.
Right, let's hear from the roll call of shame. Those confessions that are mainly just too disgusting for us to broadcast. First one comes from Jay. Jay, despite the code words you added to reduce the squeamishness, I think most people would agree that letting out a bit of a rip snorter, which resulted in a bit of a follow-on, is still not suitable enough for tea time.
Disgusting.
Touching cloth. You also didn't feel...
I think it's past that.
Yeah, that's true. You also didn't feel the need to go home to clean yourself up. Instead, you used the disabled facilities in the pub you worked in, which resulted in too many gory details to go into, but the toilet was closed for people who may have actually needed to use it. So for many, many reasons, Jay, you are beyond the pale.
Yes.
That was a shocker. And Sunny, I mean, this is just repeating what we've already made clear. You should be sorry for spiking your boss's tea with a laxative. Just because you wanted to leave work early does not make it okay. Also, laxative confessions will never make it to the radio.
Never.
They just get a disapproving finger wag on the podcast. Shame on you. Still to come, though, which is in a lighter voice and more jauntily.
Hey!
We are hunting some anti-jellyfish cream in our confession from the crypt. We join Stevie to fish out some bills from the toilet bowl, but not before Bill's confession. He was an awfully big Marine.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Things at Zaxby's just got sensational. Because now you can experience their signature Asian sensation flavor 3 different ways. Get that sweet, tangy, citrusy, zesty fusion of flavor rolled up in a giant wrap, drizzled on a salad with an egg roll, of course, or tossed on their famous chicken fingers. Hey, flavor this good deserves its own private menu. Or should I say, Zenu. The Asian Zenzation lineup, available only at Zaxby's. Who's got the sauce?
Zaxby's.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
This confession involves a Welsh accent.
Yes.
Now, normally that would mean I go, I'm not doing that.
Right.
Because it would be offensive and patronising. However, the key here is it's supposed to be a bad Welsh accent done by someone who is not Welsh.
Oh, well,
and
you
so
fit
therefore,
there, don't
who
you?
Better?
Yeah, who better than
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bill says, Simon and team, here is my confession. It was over 40 years ago, but still haunts me to this very day. Dates back to the late 70s. I was close to completing my 9-month initial training to become a Royal Marine Commando. Over the 9 months, we had lost quite a few to injuries due to the nature of commando training. Our bodies were in tatters, having been submitted to constant battering. I'd open sores on my back that refused to heal up. Oh, yeah, I should have warned you about that. Just open sores, that's all.
Right.
From equipment rubbing on the skin. And my knees and knuckles, they were bad as well. Anyway, you could go sick with these, but the threat of being back-squadded made us take the training team's treatment. This was iodine being applied directly to the wounds.
Excellent news.
Ouch. Okay.
This is first-class health service, I think, in the 1970s from the commandos. Anyway, it was very painful, but being back-squadded was worse. It meant you had to go and do another few weeks of training and not passing out with all the lads that you joined up with 9 months earlier. No, thank you. The final commando test was the final exercise. Over a week on Dartmoor, the training team threw everything at us. Ambushes, section attacks, that kind of thing. We were kept on the move all the time, carrying massive loads through the day and night, grabbing catnaps when we could. It was on a night move well into this test that the incident happened that I wish to confess to. It was around 3 a.m. on a dark, wet, misty night. We had been yomping, which, as you probably know, means moving across ground, carrying very heavy loads for a few hours. It was wet, it was cold, it was dark. The ground was typical Dartmoor, uneven and boggy. We were all exhausted, but the commando ethos of courage, determination, unselfishness and cheerfulness in the face of adversity, it's quite a long logo, really. It's the commando spirit. Yeah, it was in our minds, and this had been rammed into us from day one. I was negotiating a small stream when I heard a tactical whisper coming from behind me. The voice said this, "Ear, Taff, have you seen Bill? Is his turn on the gun?" I immediately recognised the voice of Stu, a Scottish lad. Well, I didn't do that.
No, you didn't.
It was a great bloke who ended up getting the commando medal at the end of the training. This is awarded to the recruit who, throughout training, has shown to an outstanding degree the qualities of the commando spirit. And a reminder for this tale that I am Bill, not Taff, but it was very dark. When yomping within the section, nine men, we took turns carrying the section support weapon, the general purpose machine gun. It weighed, this is very important, 24 pounds and an additional 12 pounds with a belt of 50 rounds of ammunition. So it was my turn to take the gun. I should have immediately taken the heavy gun off Stu, who'd been carrying it for the past hour. The poor man was clearly on his last legs. He was staggering. But in the dark, Stu had mistaken me for Taff, a good bloke from the valleys. Right. Now, I don't know what came over me, but in my best Welsh accent, I replied,
"Here we go.
No, there's lovely, there's a problem, isn't it? Yucky darn, oh boy, oh." I used every single bit of it. Look, it's supposed to be bad Welsh.
No, it is. It is. It absolutely was. That's exactly what it was.
Stu
the Scotsman went back down the long stake, convinced that he'd spoken to Taff. We were all spread out over a wet Dartmoor and he was looking for me. Anyway, another 30 minutes, we stopped and we all went round into the defence mode. This was to check our navigation and to take on water and any cold food and fuel that we could throw down our necks. I then saw Stu nearly collapsing, who crawled to my position and he said, in his Scottish brogue, "Ah, there you are, Bill. Couldn't find you anywhere. Here's the gun, mate." He handed over the gun and belt of ammo. He made no mention of the extra half hour of pain he'd had to endure because he'd mistaken me for Taff. He just smiled and said, in his Scottish brogue, "Enjoy," before moving back to his position. We finished the exercise the next day. We were in pieces physically. Mentally, we were over the moon because that was the last obstacle to being awarded the coveted Commando Green Beret. But Stu was in more pieces than most, and this is entirely my fault. I served for some years and then joined the police service for 30 years. I also became a member of the Royal Marines Reserves. He's obviously just giving mitigating circumstances here. Throughout all this time, I've carried the guilt of that half hour on Dartmoor when I let myself, the Marine Corps and the lads down. Every time I hear a Scottish or Welsh accent, I shudder. I've always tried to make up for this by taking the middle watch, carrying any additional kit, but whatever I do, the guilt remains. Simon and team, this is the first time I have ever told anyone of this shameful incident. I am not only asking for your forgiveness, but mainly I wish to say sorry to Stu for letting him have to endure the pain of dragging that gun over unforgiving terrain for an additional 30 minutes over 40 years ago. I also wish to apologise to the Welsh nation for my attempt at a Welsh accent. That's
the whole
from Bill.
Welsh nation, wow.
Yes, okay. Yes, absolutely. That's from Bill and also from me, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do we say? I think it's Bill. He's never told anyone. He's been carrying that for a very, very long time. I'm not quite sure what Sister Susie's going to make of that.
Well, Bill, I understand why he did what he did. You know, no one wants to carry a heavy thing. But I feel sorry for Stu. You know, he'd already had it for an hour and then had it for another 30 minutes. And also, you know, his accent by proxy was terrible. Or if you're Welsh, of Nadu is what I would say about that accent and Bill's accent. And I just don't think I can forgive him on behalf of the Welsh people, being Welsh myself.
Yes.
I say not forgiven.
I'm just wondering if Stu wasn't very bright, though, actually. Obviously, he was a great commander, but he couldn't tell a bad Welsh accent. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to forgive. Because Bill, he's showing initiative, wasn't he? Which is very much in the commando spirit.
Is that right?
As I understand it. And as you point out, you know, how did Stu not spot that Bill was clearly Bill and not Taff, with that dreadful Welsh accent, which if it was as bad as your Welsh accent, Simon, then he should have spotted it straight away. So actually, isn't it down to Stu being a bit thick? So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession and today's smart speaker goes to Stevie. Thank you, Stevie. This is slightly kind of, it's not quite tea time listening, but it's
really
fine, really.
Okay.
Father Simon and the brother and sisterhood of the confessional, I have to confess the following. Back in the early 90s, I had not long come out of the RAF after serving some 9 years for Her Majesty. Married with a young daughter, I had scrimped and saved, even sold my beloved motorcycle to put a deposit on a house and obtain a mortgage. I was working all the hours I could to pay the regular mortgage payments, the interest rates being considerably higher than today's. Each week, I would put my hard-earned cash for the mortgage into my sock drawer and at the end of the month, take the cash into the building society and pay it in.
That's worth it. He's putting your money in the sock drawer.
Yes.
Wow.
This is clearly not a wise thing to do. My wife's friend had a boyfriend at the time who worked in the building society, and I would often queue up and chat with Simon, name plucked out of the air to protect the innocent. One day I came home from work and I was busting for the loo, and I duly made my way upstairs to the loo and proceeded to attend to matters.
Of course.
Spending a penny, as I believe your parents might have said. As I stood there, I became aware of an unfamiliar sound. Not the sound of running water, you know, but more of a muted pitter-patter. I looked down in horror to see the toilet bowl was, very bizarrely, full of £20 notes.
What?
And I was spending my penny upon them.
Oh, dear.
No. You can't stop midstream, so you have to finish what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
But once finished, I couldn't flush, obviously. Let's face it, could have been worse.
It could.
No.
Oh, dear.
I couldn't flush the cheque, so you can't lose the money. Put my hand in and scooped the wet cash into the hand basin. After washing my hands, I called out to my wife, who, why and how was the toilet full of £20 notes? Perplexed, we both looked at our 2.5-year-old daughter. And then it clicked.
Right. Okay.
The cash was our mortgage money from the drawer. Checking the sock drawer, sure enough, it was empty. There had been £180 in there. It's not cash register amounts, Father Simon, but it was a lot of money back then. There's a lot of money now. Yeah. 180 quid back in the 90s. I counted the soggy notes, slightly smelly, as you can imagine, and sure enough, 180 quid down the toilet. Lucky for us, our daughter had not flushed. Thankfully, I put the notes to dry on the radiator, a little unpleasant on the smell side.
Oh,
but this was in the spare room, so that was okay. I locked the door, lest little hands found them again.
Mm.
When the notes had been dried out, as people probably know, they're never flat and crisp again, despite me running the iron over them. Again, an inappropriate smell occurred and filled the house. Anyway, that weekend, I went down the building society and I queued up to see the aforementioned Simon, as usual, and I paid in the mortgage cash. Simon greeted me as usual and asked me how much I was paying in, £180, I said, and I handed over the rather odd-looking wadge of notes. Before I could say anything, Simon was happily flipping through the notes, as cashiers do, and licking his finger as he counted.
Don't
I'm just
know.
Lick my finger again. Lick my finger again.
Oh, no.
What was that on his finger? I turned to my wife, who had seen this and was rapidly exiting the branch. I stood there, took my receipt, and I bid Simon farewell. I too needed to get out of the branch. We have no idea why our daughter had done this. She never said. Was she making a statement about society's love of money?
Yes.
I don't think so. She was only 2.5.
All right.
Anyway, I met my wife outside. We both burst into laughter. We have never had the heart to say anything to Simon, the cashier, or his girlfriend. I hope you can see the funny side and forgive me for my dirty cash escapade. It really was dirty cash. I do blame my 2.5-year-old at the time. She's 34 now and has a 2.5-year-old of her own. In these days of electronic banking, such things could never happen. But so keeping the money in the drawer was an unwise thing, and it could have gone down the toilet, and it would have been a very unpleasant thing to lose that amount of money. Anyway, maybe Stevie could just have said, listen, mate, I wouldn't lick it if I were you.
Yeah.
Sister Susie is speaking now.
Yeah, exactly that. I think, do you know what? My toddler is also obsessed with the toilet. I think it's a thing that they go through, and he keeps throwing things into the loo. So you could have been there with Stevie. However, who doesn't look in the toilet before they go to the loo? Do you not just have a glance in just to see?
If you're in a hurry. Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. But I just think I was kind of there with Stevie, but I feel like you could have told him, maybe just don't lick it. And for that reason, I can't forgive.
Okay. I mean, as I said, it could have been a whole lot worse.
It could, yeah.
Brother Matthew.
I agree with you. It's a bit weird not to look in the toilet bowl first, but, you know, it needs must. I'm going to forgive because I've never gone along with this licking your finger before you count the money thing. Always felt a little unhygienic to me. And don't they have those little things in the banks now with you stick your finger on them? That's how you count your money now.
A little rubber thingy.
That's what they use, and quite right too. Should be using that, shouldn't you, Simon, instead of your tongue? And frankly, £20 notes in the 90s had worse things on them than that. Oh, I think so. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Did they really?
I'm sure they did.
Are you talking about drugs?
I am.
I think you are.
I'm eluding.
Also, yes. Can't say that on the radio, you see.
No.
Also, where did a tongue come from? He's not counting the money with his tongue, is he?
Well, no, but he's using his tongue to...
Using his tongue to count the money, is he?
That would be a party trick I would pay to see, is someone counting money with their tongue. Yeah.
That's just weird.
Yes.
Right, let's go for a wander down the marble stairs to the crypt and unearth another confession. This week's request comes from Maria. Simon, Matt, Susie and the team. The confession I would like to hear again is the very first confession featured on Greatest Hits, March 2021. But what do we do on the first show?
I don't understand. Why?
We had a week. So
okay, we had a week
started.
Of saying, send us a confession. And me saying, yes. Don't
oh,
forget,
I
this
see.
Is where.
Yes. Okay, now okay. That makes sense.
And involved a lady going for a swim on holiday who thought she was having a heart attack, but it turned out she got a jellyfish stuck in her swimming costume. This sounds exactly the kind of thing that we would do. She then had to find some anti-jellyfish cream. Didn't know there was such a thing.
I think that's what we're about to find out.
Okay. Love the show, and that's from Maria. This is slightly coming... I mean, I think we were concentrating on other things like not giving each other COVID at the time.
Hey, that is true.
Because we were in, like, separate studios.
Yes.
I was in a studio, you were in a different...
I was in a loft.
You were at home.
He was in his attic.
Susie was next door. We were communicating on a...
walkie-talkie.
On a walkie-talkie.
Semaphore.
And Holly was in nursery.
Was that the walkie-talkie where we would catch up the local cabbies would occasionally join us?
Car 6-7?
Yeah.
Or one of those. Anyway... Here we go then, Maria, and this is for you. This is Emma's confession, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Here we go with our first confession on Greatest Hits Radio. Dear brothers Simon and Matt and sister Susie, who I think will be on my side? Well, we will find out. Here we go. Can you believe this is the third confession I've had to send in? My soul is being slowly purged of all my wrongdoings. In 2003, my husband and I were on holiday in Mallorca. He was getting over an appendectomy, which occurred 3 weeks before our holiday. So despite usually being an active chap, he spent much of the time snoozing in the shade
on a beach sunbed. I therefore went swimming on my own much of the time. One hot afternoon, I swam out a fairway, out of my depth, to a raft. After basking for a while, I stood up and dived beautifully back into the turquoise Mediterranean. This was the point at which I actually thought I was dying. Excruciating pain seared through my chest, and I realized I was having a heart attack. I repeat, I was out of my depth. Would the heart attack get me, or would I drown? Can I just say at this point, I'd like to reassure you that it has a happy ending.
Okay. Okay.
No, just in case you were thinking, this feature has taken a dark turn. On some level, I realized drowning would get me if I did nothing, so I needed to keep on swimming. After a few strokes, it occurred to me that I was actually still thinking, so I must be alive, still in pain, but it wasn't getting any worse. Yeah. And I could move. Maybe it wasn't a heart attack. So I kept swimming. Every stroke was agony. As my feet touched the sand, I waded in, staggered up the beach to my snoozing husband. As I clutched my chest, "Jonathan," I gasped, "I'm in trouble." He stirred and gazed dumbly at me. I should mention that since I burn easily, I was wearing a one-piece costume. I gently eased the top down to peer at my aching chest, only to realize that where there are usually two bumps that are there, this time there were three. And one was translucent and had tentacles.
Oh, no.
I screeched. I pulled the top of my swimming costume down and I flipped it. Out it flew, straight into a nearby bin, the most enormous jellyfish you have ever seen in your entire life. This poor chap or lass, I don't know about the gender of jellyfish, I'm afraid, was innocently swimming along, only to be landed on by me, trapped in my swimming costume as I dived off a raft. I cruelly took it from its swim, its natural environment, its very home, and unceremoniously dumped it into a Spanish waste bin. Though, obviously, that wasn't my intention. Still unsure whether I would live or not, I then sought medical help. Being Sunday, all pharmacies were shut, so I ended up visiting a diving shop to ask how poisonous the local jellyfish were. By this time, I was sporting an angry rash in the most uncomfortable, embarrassing of places. The kind senor in the diving shop didn't ask for proof, but sent me to a changing room with a tube of anti-jellyfish cream. Who knew that there even was a tube of anti-jellyfish cream?
That's made up.
So I lived, though I had a nasty rash for the entire holiday, which meant there were two of us convalescing on the sunbeds in all the same places. So, I want to seek the forgiveness, obviously, of the evil Medusa jellyfish, which gave me such a hard time. My fellow bathers, who I treated to a spectacular post-swimming display, and my recovering husband, and also the gentleman in the diving shop. So I think that's Emma in southern England, who thought she was dying, but it turned out to be a killer jellyfish, although it didn't kill her. Sister Susie from the pub, what do you say to Emma? Do you forgive or not?
I can't even imagine how she actually swam back to shore. And I do feel for the jellyfish babies. Ugh. So maybe she could have put it back in the sea.
Yes, okay, fair.
But on this occasion, I will forgive her.
Okay, Brother Matthew.
Jellyfish babies, there we go, that's where we're starting. So obviously I'm gonna forgive, because obviously, I mean, she doesn't, Emma doesn't do anything wrong. The jellyfish was the one that chose to clamp itself to her region, and therefore there's nothing to forgive. But full marks to man in diving shop for going, "Here's some cream that's anti-jellyfish cream, off you go, pop that all over, that'll be €2.99.
excellent.
I'm gonna forgive, definitely.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
I wonder how many different types of cream count as anti-jellyfish cream. You know, if I had Savlon, for example,
yes,
or Sudocreme, would that? Yeah. That, I mean, there are things that you would.
For a rash,
on your
that's
skin.
What you have for a rash, isn't it? So,
yeah, well, but so
Savlon,
that's going to help.
That's sort of
that's antiseptic.
It's relieving the inflammation.
Itch.
That's it.
Good name for a book.
Yes.
Shameless. What about creme fraiche? Would that
creme fraiche
or kefir yogurt? I bet that would help. Anyway, if you have a confession, we'd like to hear about it. And if you have a thought that maybe you'd like to hear one of the old confessions, which for, I think, rather obvious reasons, we can only go back as far as 2021.
Because
before that is problematic. Anyway, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is toenails for foxes. Toenails for foxes.
Thank you. If you've listened this far, you can tweet us that very phrase. Matt Simon Mayo on X, unless that's gone down into the gutter even more, lower than Matt.
Wow.
So you can thread me on at Mr. Simon Mayo. And also Blue Sky, where the cool people are.
They're so cool, aren't they?
They are.
Exclusive.
And getting bigger all the time.
Are they really, though?
Yes, they absolutely are. Mm. As people look at the alternatives and go,
no.
Yes. Finally, don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe, and tell your neighbours that the Simon Mayo Confessions podcast is back. Until next time, from Holly. What do you say, Holly? Because you haven't actually said very much, so I'm just coming to you now as a kind of a... That's sort of like a sop, really, in case you're feeling hurt. What's your message for everyone this week?
Well, it's not goodbye. I have to have a message, some words of wisdom, some pearls of wisdom for everyone.
For humanity. Apparently, this is the end. What message before we're sent off into space?
It's a message, but it has to finish with a goodbye, okay?
Stay safe, be kind.
Yes.
And laters, babes.
Latest okay, babes. Okay.
There you go. Yeah,
very good. Sister Susie.
Goodbye.
Yeah, Matt.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Went back to COVID days.
Yeah, Matt from his COVID loft.
Yeah,
his COVID loft.
Oh, God. Those indeed were the days.